about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I got up at 5:30 in the a.m. this morning. 5:30 in the goddamn a.m. Y'all wanna know why?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Los Angeles, California, Republican line. Here is Jack. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jack Strickland. I just want to make it clear, first of all, I'm calling from Bel Air, California, but I am originally from Philadelphia, specifically West Philadelphia. But anyway, I was actually discussing this issue with a friend of mine recently while I was in Philly. It occurred on the basketball court. At some point during the conversation, a couple of guys who were up to no good essentially started causing trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air."
Again, for the first 45 minutes, around negotiations, how much influence should Congress have? And if you want to give us a call.
And now.
That was the fanciest sentence I've ever heard. And I used to watch Frasier.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday morning. Hi, Allie.
Good morning, Bean.
What's going on, sweetheart?
I'm feeling a lot better than yesterday. Had a little migraine.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Is that a lifelong struggle for you?
Since I was 15.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say, only since I started this job, Kevin and Bean.
Oh, that's not true. The whole other issues than my migraines.
Migraines are just super, super bad headaches?
They tend to be cluster headaches in one area. There's nausea. There's triple vision. All sorts of fun stuff.
What causes them?
A whole slew of things. They could be hormonal. They could be stress. Some people think it's certain foods.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you try to do to minimize them?
Huh. Be in a really dark room. No talking. Have it be super cold.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's no way to live.
No.
And how often do you get them?
I was getting them once a month for a long time. And then I got... quite frankly, put on a lovely pill that changed my hormones. Let's talk about that, everybody. I'm a lady. but now I get them once every few months. But this one was a, 2-dayer.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
It was not a great weekend.
No. Or Monday. Did we do a show yesterday?
Yeah, we were on.
I don't remember.
Yeah. You weren't speaking English, but we were on.
Good times.
You were in the chair, but really, that's about it. So. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That is no bueno. You know what's funny? I haven't had those. I never had allergies my whole life, and I used to hear people talk about allergies, and I used to say, whatever. And then I started getting allergies like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they hit you when you're older hard.
And I didn't know that. I had no idea. I thought, I guess I'm just one of those lucky people that doesn't have allergies.
Nope.
But then when you start getting them, and the weird thing is it's not like I got them because I moved someplace. I mean, I got them after I'd lived here for 15 years, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they just started just slamming me.
Isn't that weird?
So the body is weird and the mind is weird.
Did you get one of those panels done?
I did, yes. Yeah, and then they come back and they I don't know how reliable they are, but I mean, how am I allergic to grass? How can I be allergic to grass?
Because you roll around in it. You do weird things in grass, Bean.
Like I do, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Well, every day, my takeaway from life is every day that you are reasonably healthy is the luckiest day in the world.
Agreed.
It really is. You know, you do take your health for granted sometimes. And, you know, the times you don't have a migraine, that's when you should just be the happiest little girl in the whole USA because, you know, you never know when the next one's coming. So I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks, Bean.
Here's a new job industry for people who are looking for maybe a change of career. I didn't know anything about this yesterday. To me, this was a fascinating talk from Kathleen Smith. She is with the U.S. Geological Survey, and she is making news this week because she is suggesting that there should be more research into extracting precious metals from human poop.
Yay!
Oh. Yes, if you can get rid of some of the nuisance metals that currently limit how much of these biosolids we can use on fields and forests and at the same time recover the valuable metals and other elements, that's a win-win. There was a study done by Arizona State University that estimates that a city of 1 million people flushes about $13 million worth of precious metals down toilets and sewer drains every year. And what they have already started doing in Japan is mining that, and they're expecting that that is going to spread throughout the mining industry.
Poop mining.
Poop mining. Ugh. You may be asking yourself the same question that I asked, which is, where's all this gold and silver coming from?
Right.
I'm not aware of munching on a gold bar. Precious metals, it turns out, are increasingly used in everyday products such as shampoos, detergents, and even clothes, where nanoparticles are sometimes used to limit body odor. Waste containing these metals all ends up being funneled through sewage treatment plants, and many metals end up in leftover solid waste. There are metals everywhere. And what happens is, in America anyway, about half of that that just gets sent to a landfill. They're called biosolids, by the way, which is just a grim word. And the other half is used as fertilizer in fields and in forests. We're interested in collecting valuable metals that could be sold, including some of the more technologically important metals, such as vanadium and copper, that are in cell phones, computers, and alloys. Isn't this crazy? Like, who had any idea?
I don't love a lot of this, because then your toilets are going to have to change. They're going to have to change pipes, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that they're talking about, putting in a trap right there where it's delivered. I think they're talking about once it gets to the sewage treatment plant. I think they're talking about doing it long past we're done with it, when we're done with it.
Well, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody else's job. This is where, you know, you hire a guy like Beer Mug to go down there in a scuba suit. You just have him start wading through it.
If I've ever seen a poop miner, it is Beer Mug.
Exactly.
He's
right.
A poop miner waiting to happen.
It is. Who knew? Not me. That's for sure. Like I said, they're already doing it in Japan, you know, where many first things happen. Elsewhere, sewage plants are removing phosphorus and nitrogen, which can be sold as fertilizer. A Swedish treatment plant is testing the feasibility of making bioplastics from waste. Earlier this year, of course, you remember we talked about this, Bill Gates demonstrated his confidence in radical sewage purification systems by drinking a glass of clean water extracted from human waste. Did you ever see that video, Allie?
I haven't, but I actually did a live shot in Orange County at their sewage facility that changes what they call cakes into water. Not drinkable water, but reusable water. But having to even attempt to drink that?
Yep.
No.
Bill Gates, we covered the story last year. He offered some tremendous amount of money because, you know, he's just trying to give away all of his money to improve the world, you know, for vaccinations and to help stamp out poverty and everything. And one of the things that he came up with was, hey, if you can figure out a way to make dirty water clean, that would save millions of lives around the world because so many people die from not having access to clean water.
Sure.
And this guy came up with a machine. I mean, it's not a desktop or anything like that. It was a pretty large thing, but it was something that could be built. And that's exactly what it is. It took waste in on one end and drinkable water on the other. And Bill Gates just chugged it down and said, tastes like water. So we're on the road. So there you go. There's your poop update this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get you going. A little poop mining here today. All right, let's talk about today's all-new show, shall we?
That's white people problems.
Nope, this is for everybody today. Got an all-new Beans Death Corner for you coming up in about 45 minutes or so. The great Conor McGregor on the show today. You're a UFC-er, right, Allie?
I love to watch UFC.
And
love
he's
it.
Awesome. And he has got a mouth on him. And so far, he's been able to back it up. But let's see if he's fighting for the championship against Jose Aldo, if he's going to be able to continue to back it up at UFC 189. But we're excited to have Conor in studio with us today. The great Simon Pegg on the program today. Ralph suggested yesterday that maybe I'm a little bit of a weirdo because I like to visit graves when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
I saw several of them when I was in Mississippi last week. I'm going to say, maybe not most people, but I think lots of people take advantage of being in a certain place where a famous person that they admire is buried and go pay tribute to their grave. I think lots of people do that.
I think you're right. I think just some of the people you named that you were searching for their grave, maybe not who people are really searching for.
So what you're saying is President Kennedy, yes. The guy who's saying 65 love affair, no?
Possibly what I'm saying.
Is that what you're
saying?
Maybe
even exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, we're going to take your calls if you visit graves on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we got more tickets for Kevin and Bean sold out April Foolishness, which is fast approaching on April the 4th. We got tickets for Furious 7 and Universal Studios Hollywood tickets. All that plus Ralph's Showbiz Beat coming up next year on K-Rock. I want to apologize hearing from a lot of people that maybe poop mining was not how they wanted to start their day, particularly those who eat an early breakfast. Sorry, I should have considered that differently.
Cinnamon crunch poops.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
How you doing, man?
I'm spectacular. Thanks.
Catch up on a little sleep yesterday?
I did. I slept a bunch yesterday. Feeling
good
much
for
better.
You. Good for you. Tuesday yes. morning, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz Beat, this story just floored me, and I wanted to talk about it because it, because I know this place, and I know this part of the world, and this, these kinds of things shake my belief in how the world works.
Right.
There was a guy in 1988, was a proud dad, shooting home video of his three little girls at an amusement park right outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, called Sesame Place. It's run by the Sesame Street people. And there's an amusement park, and he's shooting his three little girls, including his old 10-year-old girl, with their mother. And he's got a home video that everyone is happy to have for the remainder of their lives. Flash forward to 2015, and the girl is watching the video. This is a 10-year-old girl's grown up now, right?
I already don't like where this is going.
She's married, got her own family. And they're watching the home video. She's sitting there with her husband, and they're watching the video. And in the video, a bespectacled little 13-year-old boy walks into frame accidentally, looks into the camera, and then walks back out. That 13-year-old boy is her now husband.
That's awesome.
How insane is that?
Wow. Dude.
That Dude. She's watching her home video when she was 10 years old, and her now husband walks into the frame as a 13-year-old boy, wow. looks into the camera, and then realizes he's in the shot and walks back out again.
What?
And, of course, it meant nothing at that time. It was just a
they
passerby.
They never met. They never talked. They never played together at the amusement park. They were just in the same place at the same moment when they were children.
How much would that freak you the F out?
27 years later, they're looking at the
couple.
Video, and it's like, hey, that's me.
I got chills hearing it. She
I
must
was
have
in
flipped.
That with your family right there at the same time.
That's awesome.
So what's our takeaway from that?
World is effed up.
Yeah.
Why is it effed up?
In a good way. It's just insane that that could be.
I want to go look at my home video, see my future
There's
husband.
There's nobody there. Oh.
But now, nobody Ralph, there. Does it make you wonder whether that happens all the time and it's just not on video? Like, we've...
That we all know. Cross paths all the time for the people we're going to be interacting with?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But that was crazy.
That is
And they were
crazy
set up on a
story.
Blind date, by the way, when they met, this husband and wife.
Wow. By Big Bird?
Big Bird, yes. And Snuffleupagus got together and set them up.
G-Bird.
Well, that is creepy.
Go out together.
I don't know, Snuffy.
It's the worst Big Bird ever.
Anyway, maybe that's a phone topic we can do sometime. Talk to people like insane coincidences that happen in your life.
Yeah.
Because that really like rocks my sense of how the world works when stuff like that happens.
It's insane.
It's disturbing. All right. Let's talk about showbiz news. This Angelina Jolie, she's a different kind of cat. She's a different breed.
Well, she'll go to extreme measures to lose weight. I know that about her.
Oh, stop it. She has once again come forward and said that she went under additional surgeries as a preventative measure against cancer. She told the New York Times in an op-ed piece that she underwent surgery to have her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed last week after doctors detected early signs of cancer. She has admitted before to a preventative double mastectomy because she carries with her the gene that can be detected as be a indicator of the likelihood of getting breast and ovarian cancer, and so she's gone ahead and had this surgery done as well. I will not be able to have any more children, she said. I expect some physical changes, but I feel at ease with whatever will come because I am strong, but this is part of life. It is nothing to be feared. Either she is the best, she's putting on the bravest face in the world, or she really has a fantastic outlook on life and how she conducts herself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good I don't know much about that surgery, but it's not going to affect her life that much, with the exception of not being able to have children, right?
Right, I mean, right. So look, her and Brad Pitt, they already have 43 children.
Yeah,
so they
it seems like that's a smart decision to make if you're going to try to avoid ovarian cancer.
Her mother, her grandmother, and her aunt all died from cancer. And the doctor said she should have preventative surgery about a decade before the earliest onset cancer of her female relatives. That means her mother, who was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at 49, Angelina Jolie is 39, so they thought this would be a good time to do it. But still, that's... remarkably brave, and I think she's kind of a unique lady.
Well, I just
Very
hope
impressive.
they They stopped taking parts off of her because she's perfect the way she is.
Yeah, let's leave her intact as much as possible. What do you say? And Jennifer Lawrence has announced that X-Men Apocalypse will be her last X-Men film. No longer will she play Mystique. In an interview with the MTV News yesterday, she confirms it's my last one. Which is sad because she was great in that role. But look, I'm sure they can reinvent that franchise all over again and put new people in it. X-Men Apocalypse will star all the series regulars that we've come to know. James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Nicholas Holt, Rose Byrne. Plus, Oscar Isaac is joining the cast. Neither Ian McKellen nor Patrick Stewart will be returning. This will be all the new guys. So, good times.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Lake Bell is 36 years old today.
She's got a new movie coming out with our friend Simon Pegg.
Yes, right, she does.
Romantic comedy, yeah.
Jessica Chastain is 38 years old.
Wow.
Broncos QB Peyton Manning, he is 39. Actress Allison Hannigan. How much do we love Allison Hannigan?
So much.
All.
We haven't talked to her in a long time. I think Bean cheesed her off about something or other.
No, I didn't cheese her off. I just
it was something. But
I
admitted that your TV show.
I didn't watch her show as much as I should have.
No interest in watching it.
That's not what I
said
at all.
You said something like
that. I love Allison.
She's like, what? And I was like, what? She's 41 years old. And actor Jim Parsons, the multi-Emmy award-winning actor from Big Bang Theory, 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about a little Bean's Death Corner, shall we?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams, hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
That is certainly one of our peppier theme songs, considering the topic at hand, isn't it? It's not that I love death, Allie. It's just that if you're... I'm actually terrified of death. I'm actually one of those guys who wants to live to be 100, and I'm terribly afraid that I'm going to die young. It's just that if you do die, do it in a funny way. That's all I'm asking.
In big fashion.
In big fashion. Have a story that your friends and family will laugh about when they tell it years from now.
Agreed.
That's all I'm asking when you die.
I hear you.
You tell me if these qualify this week on an all-new Bean's Death Corner. Here's a 35-year-old Canadian woman. She and two other tourists were out in Mexico whale watching. Now, what's the goal when you're whale watching? You just want to see them from how far away? How close do you want to get to the whales if you're out whale watching?
I would say a good distance so you can get some good pics, but not so close that they flip over a boat?
Well, all the people on board suffered considerable injuries when the whale breached and hit the side of the boat and turned it over.
Whoa.
The woman who died was a 35-year-old Canadian woman who was tossed into the water. A crew member and a passenger lifted her back onto the vessel, and Mexican Navy personnel moved the woman to shore. She was taken to a clinic where she died during treatment. So she's out whale watching. She's out in their territory, trying to get close enough so that she can see them, and one of them comes up out of the water and knocks her off the boat and kills her. That is not the kind of whale washing that you are hoping for, right?
But a great story.
But a great story,
yeah.
Exactly. It seems a little early in the campaign season for this kind of story, but we go to Livonia, Michigan for this one. A defense lawyer says that an argument about presidential politics led to a fight in which his client is accused of beating her 66-year-old friend to death with a slow cooker. Now, what's unusual about this story for me is that it's a woman, an old woman, 50-something-year-old woman, killing a 60-something-year-old woman. A, you don't see that very often.
No.
And B, beating her to death with a slow cooker.
What's a slow cooker? Like a pot?
I think it's like a crock pot. Yeah. Yeah. Police
good.
Officer Michael Llewellyn said he found the woman sobbing near her mortally injured friend, saying that she was sorry she did it. The women were arguing over presidential politics and whatever the controversy is between Democrats and Republicans. However, the defense lawyer would not say which woman took which side. So we're going to have to decide whether a Republican or a Democrat is more likely to beat her friend to death over disagreeing
Jeez.
With her. Here's maybe the saddest engagement story I've seen in a long time. In Ibiza, a holidaymaker died in Ibiza after falling over a cliff as she was celebrating a marriage proposal from her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
They're standing at the edge of a cliff, which was a beautiful spot that he had picked out to ask her to marry her, to marry him, rather. They're from Bulgaria. They're there on vacation. The spot is famed for its beautiful sunset views. She is Dmitria Dimitrova, 29 years old. She falls off the cliff after he asks for her hand in marriage because she's so excited she jumps up and down 65 feet to the ground.
Oh.
She was alive but unconscious when paramedics arrived, but died at the scene minutes later. It was a freak accident. So she was engaged for seconds, really,
yeah,
right?
A few seconds at least.
Wow.
She knows a joy I never will.
Who's in better shape, her or you? At least she's dead, but at least she had someone love her, Allie.
I'd say she wins at this point.
I don't know what's going on in Napa, California, but there has been a string of very bizarre deaths over there over the past week or so. There was a murder-suicide there last Monday. There was a 66-year-old man, a 55-year-old woman who were found dead in an apartment, and nobody knows how they died or who killed them. That was the next day. And then 2 days ago, police found a body during a welfare check. The man's brother-in-law called the police and said, I haven't heard or seen from my brother-in-law since the end of February. Would you please go by and check on him? They went by his apartment, and he was found, and I want to bring this up so if you can help me figure out what happened here. He was found kneeling inside the horizontal freezer in his apartment. The door to his house was not locked. There was no signs of forced entry or struggle. Now, could you commit suicide that way? Could you kneel down and get inside a freezer and close the door? Is that what happened here?
Could you suffocate in there?
That's what I'm wondering. Is in a freezer, I guess if you closed it and you had the willpower to not flip the lid at some point, I guess at some point would you run out of oxygen or no? Do they have some way that oxygen goes into a freezer? Because those aren't airtight?
I would think they would be. Otherwise, it would leak. So was it hypothermia?
Yeah, what could have happened to this dude? Huh. And what a bizarre way to commit suicide.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way.
Something going on here. And last Wednesday, finally on this edition of Bean's Death Corner, maybe you guys heard about this story. In Los Angeles, California man who authorities believe had been drinking in a tree outside his home was fatally impaled when he accidentally fell from the tree's branches and landed on a spiked fence. This happened in the East Hollywood neighborhood of Los Angeles last Wednesday morning. It appears that the individual may have been drinking on top of a tree when he accidentally fell and impaled himself. It's being investigated as an accidental death. There were about a dozen beer cans found at the scene. I think there was a party earlier in the house that evening. There's no immediate word on how long the body had been on the fence when it was discovered, but he was impaled through his face and his neck.
Oh,
a police officer, Sergeant Melvin Gamble, told the LA Times, over the years you see stuff like this, you still don't get used to it. Allie, this may surprise you, but we did a phone topic once on the Kevin and Bean Show where we took nothing but calls from listeners who had been impaled.
What?
And there were a ton of them. People who had skewers that had gone through them, people like this guy who had fallen on a fence, people who had fallen on all sorts of stuff. Apparently it does happen, but rarely does it happen like this where you're drinking in a tree and fall out. So I think that's a pretty good batch. That is this week's Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
There you go. There's Adam Sandler from his new film, The Cobbler, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Simon Pegg joins us on the program later, and we'll talk UFC 189 with the great Conor McGregor. That's next hour as well. Plus, Monica Lewinsky is back in the news. We'll need to hear about that coming up at about 15 minutes or so. Allie, I don't know if I have your support. I don't seem to have the support of anybody else on this program, but I love me some Taylor Swift.
I support you in your love for her.
Really? Do you love her also?
I don't love her. I just don't have disdain for her like others do. Okay. I will listen to a song and say, hey, that's pretty catchy.
Okay.
I'm not buying her music, but okay. I don't hate it.
I seem to have turned Ralph and Kevin and the others kind of against her because I love her too much. I think that's what they say has been the problem. But she is in the news for a couple of reasons right now this week, and we thought we might catch up with Taylor, so I believe we've got her on the phone here. And find out what's going on with Miss Swift as she prepares to go out for her big world tour. Hey, Taylor, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're on the phone and we're talking.
You can believe
it. This
isn't a surprise. I don't know what you just said there, but you're not really surprised because we set this up with we set this up with your people, Taylor. You knew we were going to talk today.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Well, how are you, first of all? It's been a while since we caught up with you. You doing okay?
I'm so good.
You sure hang out with a lot of Victoria's Secret models.
I do, because we all like to create art.
Now, what do you mean by that? Create art.
We're all making art. Art's very important, and I make art, and I should get paid for my art.
Because you're making art, because you're making music, and they're making art because they have boobs. Is that
what
you mean?
Yes, it's all art. We're all artists.
Okay. Well, I had
we're
a couple
things. Very important artists.
I had a couple things I wanted to ask about. Yeah. First of all, how did you get into a fight with the people that make the SATs? How are you in a war of words with the Princeton Review?
Because they misquoted my art.
They put the lyrics to one of your songs in a question and they got it wrong?
Yes! How can you misquote this spectacular lyrics of mine? The legendary famous lyrics, how could they get them wrong?
So, what did you do?
I said,
That's an appropriate response.
I think so. I was so upset. I said, you had one job. Do it. Do your one job.
Taylor, why do I feel like you spend about 23 and a half hours a day just getting in fights with people who don't like you or say things about you?
I must be respected. I'm an artist.
Right, but I thought that haters were going to hate. You were just going to shake it off. It sounds like you're doing the opposite of shaking it off. It sounds like you're taking on every single battle personally.
My next song is called Roll Around in It.
Forget shaking it off.
I'm just going to roll around in it because I can't believe it. They misquoted me. They had one job.
I understand.
They had a job making thousands of questions, so maybe more than one job.
Yeah, maybe not one.
My words wrong!
All right. Boy, that's a shrill sound you're making there, Taylor. And the other thing that we saw about you this week is apparently you have just bought some curious domain names that we would not have expected you to want to own. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, my God. I am not going to be put in any adult website. I won't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm an artist.
Right.
And I won't have my name associated with anything that is pornographic.
Okay, but having said that, you did buy TaylorSwift.porn and
right.
TaylorSwift.adult.
Right. I'm buying them up so no one else can buy them and put my pictures in an adult website.
Uh-huh. So it's a preemptive strike.
Yes! Okay. I'm buying them all up so no one can use them.
Okay. I mean, but there are lots of other ways that people can write about you on the internet. You know, this doesn't stop people from posting anything they want on you.
But if they go to TaylorSwift.adult, I'll have it.
If
they go to TaylorSwift.porn, I'll have it.
Okay.
But I can't, so I'm buying up all of them. Taylor Swift, Puerto Rican Fogbank.com, mine. Puerto Rican Rusty Trombone.com, mine. Taylor Swift, WestsideGlaze.com, Taylor Swift. tunamelt.com.
Oh, no, not the tuna melt.
Taylor Swift, BrazilianFlapjack.com. Taylor Swift, ChristmasTurkeyCarver.com.
These are pretty specific, Taylor.
Taylor Swift, ChocolatePizzaMilkshake.com. Taylor Swift, FlamingAmazon.com.
Is that even a position?
Taylor Swift, HotCarl.com.
Okay, I don't want to know about that.
Taylor Swift, MushyBiscuit.com. Taylor Swift, PasadenaMudslide.com.
Okay.
Taylor Swift, JuanitaSpecialBeanDip.com.
All right, we get the idea.
Taylor Swift, ShopVac.com. Taylor Swift, ScrewNicorn.com. Taylor Swift, AlabamaHotPocket.com.
Don't Google that. Don't.
DonkeyPunchTaylorSwift.com.
Nope.
TaylorFist.com.
No, we're not doing TaylorFist.com. We're not. Late, great My Chemical Romance on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Oh, I love that band so much. Ali, did you ever see them, My Chemical Romance?
I've never seen them live.
Well, you're not going to now.
I know.
They were so good. Conor McGregor talks UFC next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Simon Pegg coming up as well. We were talking off the air yesterday about this Monica Lewinsky TED Talk. TED, by the way, it stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And basically, it's a speaker series where they get people who are experts in various fields who give speeches. And then they do it in person in front of an audience, but then they find, you know, greater life online as people discover them on the internet. And Monica Lewinsky did one this week. And I was really impressed with it. How about you?
I was taken aback. And a lot of people can say, oh, what's she talking about now after mm-hmm. so long? It is one of the best TED Talks I have ever seen.
Yeah, we're going to play some highlights from it here in a second. And it occurs to me, and she talks about this in the first part of the speech that we'll play, it occurs to me that it has now been so long that she was well known for something that there may be a whole generation of people who don't know who Monica Lewinsky is. But she was an intern at the White House during President Clinton's administrations in the 90s, and she had an affair with him. And he tried to cover it up and was impeached for it. He ended up being acquitted and staying president. But she, what's more interesting to me is what happened to Monica Lewinsky. How do you come back from that when your name is a worldwide punchline? How do you then grow up and become a woman who lives in the world if that's what's following you around? But she starts her speech by talking about how she realized that there are a lot of people who may not even remember the story at this point.
You're looking at a woman who was publicly silent for a decade. Obviously, that's changed, but only recently. It was several months ago that I gave my very first major public talk at the Forbes 30 Under 30 Summit. 1,500 brilliant people, all under the age of 30. That meant that in 1998, the oldest among the group were only 14, and the youngest, just 4. I joked with them that some might only have heard of me from rap songs. Yes, I'm in rap songs. Almost 40 rap songs.
How about that, by the way?
That's insane.
And Omar, get on that. I want to hear some Monica Lewinsky references in rap songs, right?
Oh, man.
She explains what that choice that she made back when she was 22 has done to the rest of her life.
At the age of 22, I fell in love with my boss. And at the age of 24... I learn the devastating consequences. Not a day goes by that I'm not reminded of my mistake, and I regret that mistake deeply. In 1998, after having been swept up into an improbable romance, I was then swept up into the eye of a political, legal, and media maelstrom like we had never seen before. Remember, just a few years earlier, news was consumed from just three places: reading a newspaper or magazine, listening to the radio, or watching television. That was it. But that wasn't my fate.
Now, she mentions that her news story was kind of what made the internet, right? It was one of the very, if not the first major news story that broke online. I believe it was the Drudge Report back then.
She said she was patient zero of a losing personal reputation on a global scale.
And this is kind of what her point is she's talking about the digital revolution and how it kind of started back with her story back in 1998, which is now everybody has access to everything all the time, and that means everybody can communicate with everybody all the time. And she basically is talking about how, I mean, her point is that's where cyberbullying began, mm-hmm. because of all the things that were said about her at the time, you know, forgetting the fact that she was a real person.
What that meant for me personally was that overnight, I went from being a completely private figure to a publicly humiliated one worldwide. I was patient zero of losing a personal reputation on a global scale almost instantaneously. I was branded as a tramp, tart, slut, whore, bimbo, and of course, that woman. I was seen by many, but actually known by few. And I get it. It was easy to forget that that woman was dimensional, had a soul, and was once unbroken. When this happened to me 17 years ago, there was no name for it. Now we call it cyberbullying and online harassment. I lost my reputation and my dignity. I lost almost everything, and I almost lost my life.
Now, was that a surprise to you, Allie, to hear that she had thought of suicide?
Absolutely. And there was a point in the speech where she talked about her mother's reaction to, do you remember Tyler Clemente? He is the young man in New Jersey that killed himself because his friends in college were bullying him for being gay. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about her mom's visceral reaction to it, and she couldn't quite figure out where it was coming from. And then she realized it's because her mother used to sit outside her room when she would shower because she was so afraid of Monica, as she said, being humiliated to death literally and taking her own life.
Yeah, it was pretty chilling to hear her talk about that, about people can die from shame. Yeah. I mean, essentially not want to live anymore. And that's kind of her point. Look, it's easy to criticize Monica Lewinsky. She was definitely in the wrong. I mean, she was the odd person out in a marriage. I mean, she definitely, you know, she made a mistake by getting involved with a married man. There's no question about that. She deserves whatever you think of her for that. But what she's saying is it got so much bigger than that because of the internet, and she's bringing it into 2015 by saying that's what's happening to people who aren't famous anymore, who aren't on the news, who just become shamed at school, for instance, or at work or in their community because of how cruel the internet is and how people don't think that there is a person on the other side of those hateful, hateful remarks.
Yeah, the more you click, the more numb you get, the more numb you get, the more you click, and it's just this dangerous cycle. And her whole point of it was empathy and compassion go so far nowadays.
Exactly. If you're just joining us, talking about Monica Lewinsky, she did a TED Talk in Vancouver. Here's a little bit more from that.
Every day online, people, especially young people who are not developmentally equipped to handle this, are so abused and humiliated that they can't imagine living to the next day. And some, tragically, don't. Changing behavior begins with evolving beliefs. We've seen that to be true with racism, homophobia, and plenty of other biases today and in the past. As we've changed beliefs about same-sex marriage, more people have been offered equal freedoms. When we began valuing sustainability, more people began to recycle. So as far as our culture of humiliation goes, what we need is a cultural revolution. Public shaming as a blood sport has to stop. And it's time for an intervention on the internet and in our culture.
And that's the takeaway. And I thought that was I thought that was a really interesting way to put it, which is, look, it used to be accepted to be racist. It used to be accepted to be homophobic. It used to be accepted to be, as she mentioned, wasteful with the environment. But gradually, there was a tipping point where we said, okay, that's not okay. We're going to do it another way. And she's saying that it's time for people to stand up to cyberbullies that same way, to start calling people out. You know, it reminds me of that Kurt Schilling story that we did a couple of weeks ago, where it would have been really easy for him to just ignore those comments that people had made online about his daughter. But instead, he went the extra step and found out who they were. And remember, there were consequences for those kids who got kicked out of school or fraternities or off of sports teams or whatever, because you can't just put stuff up on the internet anymore and not have it affect people. Right. And that's what she's saying. And I think that's a really powerful message.
If you get a chance, you guys out there, watch it. It's under 18 minutes. She says some things in there. Even if you have the idea, oh, it's not worth my time. She had an affair. Why would I care what she thinks? It goes so far past that.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely worth checking out. And maybe this isn't the point, but she's also kind of hot now, too.
Yeah, not
and
I really think, the takeaway.
Really?
No, but okay. She is a beautiful woman that has okay. a lot to say.
That's what I meant. Okay, thanks. Walk the Moon on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ from UFC 189. Conor McGregor in studio with us next hour. Very excited about Conor. I bet he could take Chip.
I don't know about that. No Chip way. Has that Etsy belt that she got.
Forgot about that.
He just didn't a chance, dude.
She got from a Korean mouse that trained her out of the sewers or something. I forget exactly how she got her superpowers, but the story changes every time she tells it.
That is coming up. Actor Simon Pegg at the program as well. First, though, Ralph's got the show. He's been on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
You know, it is Tuesday. As my old friend used to say, I miss him.
Which friend? Which friend are we talking about?
You know, Jonesy.
Oh, yeah.
Who's to talk about Tuesday.
That's right.
It's Tuesday.
Love that guy.
That means it's new release day.
Tell me.
Here's what you can pick up. Action Bronson has a new CD out called Mr. Wonderful.
All right.
I'm not familiar with the music of Action Bronson. I know, Bean, you listen to everything that's committed to any sort of recording device. Fill me in on Action Bronson.
I don't know a lot about them. I've heard some of their songs before. They're your standard rock band.
It's a pretty sweet name. That's all I got to
say. Or a rapper.
Oh, he's a rapper.
Oh, okay. Then who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Somebody else,
Charles Bronson, maybe?
I don't know. All right.
Anyway, great name. Mr. Wonderful.
CD I like it.
It's out today. On DVD, The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. If you missed that in theaters, you can catch that with Martin Freeman and Ian McKellen. Into the Woods for you Sondheim fans. Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, our buddy James Corden, Anna Kendrick. An Unbroken, directed by Ms. Angelina Jolie. Story.
Well, what's left of her?
Oh man. Two tsunami right there. Story of Louis Zamboni. Anyway, that guy is a good guy. TV shows on DVD, Mr. Bean, The Whole Bean, the complete series. That's available if you want to check that out. My good and charitable friend Bean there was referring to Angelina Jolie's announcement that she underwent additional preventative surgeries to keep her from having to deal with the horrors of cancer. She had her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed last week. Now, she does possess the gene that has been an indicator for both breast and ovarian cancer, and she already had a double mastectomy to try to prevent cancer from presenting itself in her breasts, and now she has gone the extra mile and had those parts of her also removed that were in danger. So she mentioned in the op-ed piece in today's New York Times, "I will not be able to have any more children, and I expect some physical changes, but I feel at ease with whatever will come. Not because I am strong, but because this is part of life. There is nothing to be feared." Well, I would be scared to death, but she's better than I am. She's a very impressive lady.
Are they putting those up on eBay or anything? Does it say what they're...
Will
what
you the stop plan? Already?
If you could have Angelina Jolie's ovaries in a jar, you
God.
Would.
No. No
that
one
would. That would be a cool item.
Nope. No, Hannibal. Nobody would do that.
No!
Can you not be you for just 10 minutes?
Look... What's the harm there, though? They're out of her. It doesn't affect her at all anymore. It's just, why go to wait? Why just throw an awesome celebrity item like that away? That's all I'm saying.
What would you do if you had those in a jar? Where would you put
them? You don't
want
to know that,
Allie.
You don't want to know.
Nothing weird. It would just be an item that you would want to have up on a shelf and go, oh, yeah, look. There's Angelina Jolie's ovaries.
No.
And, Chip, there's a new band name for you also.
I already broke them up.
Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson's son Chet is back in the news. If you remember Chet Hayes, rapper
sure.
Chet Hayes, I think he's good friends with Action Bronson.
I
Chet
believe
Hayes
so, yeah.
is. He's just a massive tool.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I feel bad because the Hankses are apparently the greatest couple in show business. Could not be nicer people. I don't know what they did to get settled with this douchebag, but he's just a tool. And he thinks he's a rapper, and he's not. Check out his videos online. They're just downright embarrassing. Well, apparently he made quite the scene at a drinking joint called The Vault in Hollywood this past weekend. Started sucking down the booze, screaming at people, and of course starting fist fights. He was escorted out of the club and then went to another club where apparently he tried to grab the microphone from rapper Machine Gun Kelly and try to rap himself. He was thrown out of that club as well, so people speculating that he's in a bit of a downward spiral. Mm. So that's sad news.
Poor Tom Hanks.
I know. Who should have a better kid than Tom Hanks?
Right.
Well, he does have a really good one.
Well, he's got Colin, of course, yeah.
But every family has one.
I know.
Let's be honest.
Well, what are we going to do about this Chet Hayes?
And if you don't know if your family has one, you're probably...
It's you!
Yeah.
And this doesn't mean much to those of us here in Southern California, because we don't have ourselves a local team, but the rest of the world is pretty happy about the news that the NFL has dropped its blackout rule. That means you'll get to watch your local team on television this season, even if the game isn't completely sold out.
I was surprised to read how few games are blacked out every year.
Well, that's because...
It seems like they've been doing it much.
That's because, largely, corporations will come in and buy those extra seats up, so that will be considered a sellout, and they get to air their commercials during the local televised NFL games. But
was this under FCC pressure? Is that why they dropped it, the blackout rule?
I think it was under pressure of the fans more than anything else.
Hmm.
The owners announced that the rule has been dropped for the 2015 season, but they reserve the right to revisit the policy change after the season when they get to see how it works out. But I think it'll be good for everybody. No need for that.
I agree.
People still want to go, and good games and good teams will sell out regardless, and it can only be good for your product to get more eyes on it as possible.
So this is going to be the first time in years that a Dolphins game is actually going to be on TV again.
How
dare you?
Dare you? You're making friends left and right this morning, Bean. And speaking of the FCC, they just dropped a $325,000 fine on a local station in Roanoke, Virginia. The station was airing a news report about a former adult film star who had joined a local volunteer rescue squad. While doing the story, they showed an explicit video clip of an adult film website. The FCC stepped in and said that violated the rule that you can't air indecent programming from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night, and slapped them with a huge fine. Seems to me if you're doing a news story about an adult films actor and you put that on in the news and put that on television, that's part of the story, right?
Well, maybe not an explicit scene.
Yeah, you can't. You still can't show.
How will I know what adult film means if I don't see people having sex on film?
That's a good point.
It's journalism.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Okay.
You should be embarrassed. You used to do that, Allie.
Porn?
No, journalism.
Same.
Stop it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jim Parsons, 42 years old today. He doesn't look 42, does he?
No, he does not.
He looks like a kid over there on that Big Bang Theory. Allison Hannigan, there's another person who's not aging. What's wrong with these people? What's going on? And where can I get some? Peyton Manning, the quarterback for the Broncos, celebrates his 39th birthday. Jessica Chastain is 38. Did anyone know she was 38, by the way? And actress Lake Bell is 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Our producer, Dave, King of Mexico in studio. Hey, King.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's going on with the opening act contest? Where are we at?
We're narrowing it down. We're choosing a top 10. We announce that top 10 next Monday.
I heard we had hundreds of entries for people who wanted to open the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a very good response. Thanks to everyone who took the time to record their video and send it in. Some, you know, were audible and some were not. But, you know, I went through all of them and we whittled it down. So,
all right. So top 10 finalists are going to be announced on March the 30th. And then we'll ask you to vote to find out who is going to be opening Kevin Bean's April Foolishness April 4th at the Shrine. And by the way, if you want to go, how about we give away a pair of tickets right now to caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. The sold out Kevin Bean April Foolishness. You can win your tickets right now. And thanks again to everyone who bought their tickets when they went on sale, with proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Now, I was on vacation last week, Dave, so I missed the conversation that apparently came up on the air. But you are now Rich Dave. You're now Fancy Dave. What's happening?
Apparently. So my girlfriend decided that we weren't cleaning our one-bedroom apartment very well. So she decided, because, you know, we're busy people, so she decided to hire a maid service.
Okay. And what was anybody's problem with that? That seems like a reasonable solution to a real-life problem.
Thank you, Bean.
No.
Yeah, apparently.
Wait, what do you mean no, Holly?
Not
it's
acceptable.
It's a one-bedroom apartment. Two people live there. How hard can it be to clean up after yourselves? And don't forget, you also mentioned that you now have food delivered.
Yeah, but that's for a whole different reason.
Rich Dave. Yeah. You are out of touch with the people is what we were saying.
What's wrong with Dave being Rich Dave, though? He's a professional. He works hard. He's got a good job. Why shouldn't he make his life a little bit more comfortable? I don't understand why everybody's coming down on the king.
Well, he's changed, is what we're saying. He's no longer the same.
I see.
I'm still the same confident guy who's rad and, you know, is the best at everything. Like, that's still me.
Wow.
I'm still me.
Allie does make a good point, though, that I guess I hadn't really considered. It's not like you're cleaning a 10-room mansion here.
Yeah.
It is. How long could it possibly take to clean up a one-bedroom apartment?
Well, according to Gloria, it took 2.5 hours last time. So I ain't going to do that.
Shoot. Gloria is your maid?
Yes.
Well, we have a surprise for you, Dave, because Gloria is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Gloria.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. We have your master, Dave, here.
Hi, Mr. Sanchez. How are you today?
Good morning, Gloria.
Good. I did not have a chance to hear you on the King of Mexico show on K-Rock. I did not listen today.
He tells you it's the King of Mexico show?
He says he's host of modeling show, King of Mexico show, and K-Rock 106.7.
No. He's the producer here. It's the Kevin and Bean show. That's actually the program
not
he's
according
on.
According to Mr. Sanchez.
Huh.
He says, I am on the radio every night. And it's hard for me sometimes to be understanding what he's saying.
Yeah, he does have a lot of trouble with vowels, and your English is definitely better than his, Gloria.
Well, I am from Mother Russia, and I understand more Spanish than he does.
Right. So, what's it like cleaning Dave's place?
Oh, it is exhausting. He lives in palatial one-bedroom apartment.
Uh-huh.
In Mother Russia, this would be mansion. Putin would live in place this expensive and large.
Right.
And so it takes me a long time for doobie cleaning. I have to clean all the panda shirts.
The panda shirts, right?
There are a lot of panda shirts to be cleaned.
He does wear a lot of those.
I have to clean and wash all the Clapper jerseys.
Clippers, right?
He loves Clippers. I don't know who the Clappers are, but he loves Clappers. There's so much dishes to be cleaned.
Really? A lot of food dishes?
They each have one. Sorry, I must wash both dishes for them all time. There's a dusting must be done because if there is one dust bunny, Mr. Sanchez cannot touch it because he can't touch fuzzy things.
That is true.
I've heard that about Dave, yes. He hates cotton as well, I think.
Afraid of what Fuzzy thinks.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
he's a weirdo.
He can't clean one bedroom apartment because he can't touch Fuzzy thinks.
That makes a lot of sense
that's
now that you put
Fuzzy.
It.
Fuzzy.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult, and it takes me sometimes 2.5-3 hours for to be cleaning.
Uh-huh.
Because I get paid by the hour. So I clean for 15 minutes and sit my ass down on the couch for a while.
Hey!
Well, no one's there. Why not? Catch up on some TV, right?
It's great. No one's here. He never here. The blonde girl he lives with, who has other friends, men come over, have sex when he's gone.
What?
She's never here most times, so it is really, it's nice for me. It's like vacation home.
All right. Sounds like a pretty good deal, Gloria. Don't lose that job.
I won't. It's just, I get tired of picking up his girlfriend's condoms all the time.
Oh, wow. Hey, Conor McGregor, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I'm going to be tearing people apart with my bare hands.
Yes, I understand that you are.
My family's a family of warriors.
That's what
only
I hear, yes.
I do my fighting inside the ring.
Yes, we're very much looking forward to UFC 189. Actually, Conor McGregor is moments away from the Kevin Abid show. He'll be pulling into the parking lot any minute now. We will actually talk to the real guy coming up. First, though, Ralph, I wanted to have you in here because you're kind of our sexpert here on the program.
Well, thank you for noticing.
Although, I don't know, maybe Allie is her sexpert. We just don't know that much about her yet. So yeah. maybe she's got some experience in this area.
She's single and looking to mingle, from what I understand.
If you will.
I thought maybe you could help me out with this one, Ralph, because I have not heard of this before. Here's a 42-year-old man from Boston, Massachusetts, who broke his penis during sex.
Sure. Absolutely.
He says he heard it snap.
Yep.
He accidentally hit his penis on his partner's perineum.
Ow!
Now, the perineum, is that, what's that?
That's better known as the taint.
That is the taint. Same thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The space between the anus and the vulva.
By the way, good morning, everybody, and hello to the kids.
By the way, anus and vulva, that was my first morning radio show I used to work on back in the day.
Were you anus or were you vulva?
At KLAP at the clap.
You say, oh yeah, as if you've heard of this before.
Oh yes, it's not an unknown phenomenon. Let me break it down for you, if I will.
No pun intended,
no pun
please.
Intended. It's not what you think it is, because obviously the penis is not a bone, even though people do refer to it as the boner.
Right.
It is a series of chambers which, when engorged with blood, cause the turgidity, if you will, of the member.
Well said.
Thank you. And what can happen in the cases of severe trauma is that the walls of those pockets that fill up with blood, those little encapsulated areas, imagine, if you will, a million tiny little water balloons that fill up with blood and get engorged, and that's what gives the rigidity of the member. Uh-huh. When it is twisted or torqued or bent severely, the walls of those little encapsulations snap, they tear, they rip.
Oh.
And so that popping sound you hear is the fluid rushing out of those pockets. It's like when you crack your knuckles and you hear that sound. It's the rush of fluid coming out of there. So you do hear an audible pop or cracking noise, and then at that point the tissue is rendered asunder. It's torn to the point where you can no longer manage your unit.
So taking the sex out of this is the same thing that would have happened had he just, with a full-on erection, just run into a wall or something,
yes,
right? I mean,
exactly.
it's the impact.
It was the fact that he obviously bent it so severely that he actually tore the encapsulations that get filled up.
This can't be common, though. I mean, what kind of force is he coming at her with to make an injury like this happen?
You'd be surprised. It's just, if the right angle, you know, or the wrong angle, if you will, at the wrong time, it's not that unheard of. It happens on
how do you
a
know
fairly regular basis.
So much about this.
I told you, he's the sexpert.
It's just a hobby. It's just a hobby of mine. Is the sexual oddities of the world. I find it endlessly fascinating. You know what penis with death?
Yeah.
I'm that way with sex.
Got
penis.
It.
Yeah,
thank you, Kevin.
Of course, wants to talk about penis.
He heard a snap, immediately lost his erection, and saw blood spurting out.
Yeah,
and they called 911 and took him in, and that's when they fixed him up. And apparently, by the way, this report comes from the Journal of American Medicine. Apparently, he 6 months later was fine with no long lasting side effects. Healed up completely well.
Yeah, they say the tissue, it's like anything. If you tear tissue in the body, you know, given the right opportunity, the body can heal itself and can that can.
So this would be like a rip and a, you know, a tear in your leg or something like
the
that.
The ripping and the tearing.
The ripping and the tearing. I've heard about that. All right. So our takeaway from this is...
Be careful.
Don't do this, right?
Don't just go jamming things around willy-nilly. Okay. Know what your target zone is and stay on target, Red Leader.
Stay on target indeed. Well said. Hit it, Chip. Come on. Let's do it. Let's get
this. When Conor McGregor fights, there's this inescapable feeling that you're witnessing something that comes along once in a lifetime. The UFC's version of a Sugar Ray Leonard or a Muhammad Ali. Just someone undeniably special.
This is the new age. I wanted to come over here to America and show the American public the new era of the fighting Irish. And I brought my whole country with me. If one of us go to war, we all go to war.
This is who I am. I like to look good and whoop ass. It's what I do best.
Obsession. I have an addiction to this. I can't shut it off.
I don't give a about rankings. As far as I'm concerned, I'm number one.
I truly feel unstoppable right now. The whole history of MMA, nobody has done what I have done or is doing what I am doing.
I personally have a vision of myself as the world champion.
This is the beginning of the McGregor era.
Saturday, July 11th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada on pay-per-view. Tickets are going on sale if you want to be there in person this Friday at 10 a.m. at UFC Fight Week. Let's welcome the notorious Conor McGregor in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Conor, how are you, buddy?
How are you, sir? I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's great to see you again. Yeah, it's our pleasure. Last time we talked to you, you were in bed. You were on the phone, I think, in Boston before you fought in January.
Yeah, yeah. This time they had three people come in and wake me up, grab me out of bed, and rush me out the door. So I am here.
Tell me about this this tour.
And you're not here now.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I'm not there in the room with you.
That's okay.
Tell me about this tour that you're on, this blitz that you're on to raise awareness for the fight. You guys are going everywhere, right?
Yeah, we are on a mega world tour to promote the fight. We've been in Rio, Vegas, now we're in Cali, we go to Boston, New York, Canada, London, Dublin, and then we wrap her up in my beautiful hometown.
And you're spending a fair amount of time with the champ. You and Josie Aldo are spending a lot of time together right now. Is that awkward for you, or are you enjoying getting the opportunity to be in the same room and get under his skin a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I do not mind spending time with him. He can sit on my lap. I will sit him on my lap and look after him. It is all good. It's part of the business, you know. We must go around and do the media obligations, but it is what it is.
This is the first time, though. You know, the UFC has been around for a long time, but this is the first time I remember hearing so much about, hey, let's make sure the fighters don't touch each other before they get into the octagon on July 11th. Was there some concern from their side that you were going to try to, like, start a fight or something? Where's this coming from?
In Rio de Janeiro, it's a enemy territory for me, so they brought me over for the first time. So I went over preparing for war. If something had have kicked off, I was ready to go, and I let that be known. There is no commission out there, so if something kicks off, I am gonna go back at it. So, but again, we came face to face. I told him I would kill him in his own language, and he did not say nothing. His bottom lip quivered, his eyes watered. And that is it. There is no need to do nothing else. When they beg for mercy, it is over.
Do you feel like you're wasting some of your best trash talking for this fight since he doesn't speak English?
I do not speak trash. I simply speak truth. These are all facts. Again, his eyes watered. His bottom lip quivered. I simply speak fact. If you speak fact, you never run out of anything.
You can smell the fear on him.
It has a strong, strong stench, fear does. And funny enough, it's a beautiful stench that actually
it
arouses me
you.
small in some way.
Arouses you.
Yes.
What do you mean in that clip that we heard before you came on, Mr. McGregor? What do you mean when you say you're doing something that no one's ever done in the UFC before?
Well, you know, we've got the private jets flying us city to city, you know, we are going global with this. Never in the history of the company has anybody have they ever done something of this magnitude. My competitor previously has fought on the co-main event slot of a card where the smaller weight was above him. That never happens in the history of the company. Usually, the heavier weight would be the higher on the card would be the main event.
Sure.
But since Jose is such a coasting champion that he does not take risks, that he does not excite inside the octagon, they stuck him co-main event to the bantamweights. Now that he is fighting McGregor in the McGregor division, we are main event ahead of the welterweights, which is a heavier division. So I am simply changing the game. You know, this is what I mean when I say this.
So are others wrong when they talk about how good a fighter he is, how exciting and creative he is? The fact that he's 25-1, you don't look at that and go, all right, he's bringing some skills to the octagon as well.
Everybody inside the octagon has skills. You do not get to the UFC without some form of skills. But I simply look at his career. I don't look at the overall spectrum of it. I look at fight by fight and previous fights, and I see a pattern of decline. I see deterioration in his skill set. I see a champion who is coasting, a champion who has not hurt anybody in a long time. He has not got that stopping power that I have. When I hit people, they break, they crumble. When he hits people, they survive.
Let's talk about what happened after the Seaver fight. It was one of the greatest moments I've ever seen on UFC. And by the way, your fight on Fox Sports 1 that night back in January was the most watched in the history of Fox Sports 1, as I'm sure you know, Connor.
You're damn right. I know. I am highly interested in the numbers. Not only was the fight the highest rated, but we also had my documentary, which I am executive producer on, air on Fox, and that also broke records. We also did a show, UFC Rising. It also broke records. I think I set about, throughout that period, I set about 4 records back to back on Fox alone. And now I have, we have worked a deal on my new 6-part series that I have that has been following me around the past year, that aired on national TV and also in Ireland and also broke records. Now we have it airing on Fox. So I'm very happy about that.
Sure, of course. All right, so you win that fight in a very convincing fashion like you do. And then immediately you jump into the crowd and get in Jose's face. Mm. What were you trying to do that night? Were you trying to ensure that you got to fight him next? Were you trying to just start the intimidation at minute one? Were you trying to actually fight him? What was happening in your mind that night?
You know, there is a lot of energy inside the octagon, and in Boston City, the energy was electric because the New England Patriots had also won that day, and then the stadium was filled. It was full of it was an intense energy in there. So when the fight ended and I stopped my German opponent, the energy inside that octagon was fever pitch. So I decided, I saw his little Brazilian head and I bounced over the cage and I threw that energy straight through his chest like a thunderbolt to let him know that now it's his time. Now he must face the pound for pound greatest.
Pure adrenaline. I had never seen anything like that. The fight ends. All of a sudden you are outside of the cage. There was no thought before that. That was going
to
happen?
No, I just seen him and rolled with it. He was brought over to the fight was a formality. I was already the number one contender. The belt was already I was already going to be fighting him for the belt, but he got messed up in his last fight because he could not compete. I was out in Brazil. I was supposed to get in the ring and we were supposed to face off there, but he got such a bad beating in Brazil that I couldn't do it. So the fight was already done. So I took a fight in Boston. I whooped my opponent in Boston, and then I got the ball rolling. I went out, jumped out, and got straight in his face and told him. I screamed my country's name in its native tongue. I screamed "Era" at him, and then that was it. He did not get inside the octagon to face off with me. Apparently, superstition. He was superstitious.
Awkward when Joe was trying to bring him up to talk with you.
That was the reason he gave. But he has been inside. He said he was superstitious. He does not step foot inside the octagon unless he is fighting. Well, that amuses me because I have looked and I have seen him inside the octagon on many occasions when he is not fighting. So it is what it is. Fear has different ways of presenting itself. But make no mistake about it. He is reeking of fear.
How are you going to keep this level of energy up and momentum up until July 11th? You're going to exhaust yourself.
Not particularly. No, this is the way I am. You know, I enjoy work. I enjoy my job. I enjoy combat. I enjoy mental warfare. I enjoy the training aspect. I enjoy everything about this life. I don't want to be anywhere else. So for me, I am in my element.
You're living the life.
I watched video of you. It was basically wake up, eat eggs, eat chicken, train. Eat eggs, eat chicken, train. Just all day long. What else are you doing?
Well, maybe not consist eggs, chicken. You know, I would definitely mix it up by mistake, man. I love my meat.
Okay, but, add some steak.
Yeah, I definitely wake up and stretch and drink water, and I have my routine. You know, I free the body after being asleep. I feel people jump up out of bed. As soon as they get up out of bed, they are dragged up. They brush their teeth, and they're dragged to where they need to go. And you know, after a while, the body locks up. You know, you need to stretch. You need to loosen out your body. You need to free the frame. That's what it's about, finding freedom of movement. So that's what I am doing. Now, on these media days, when we have these early starts like this morning, we have three people to come and get me up out of bed. There is no time to do this. We got to get dragged out here. But business is business, and business must be handled.
I bet nobody wants to be the guy that has to go wake up Conor McGregor.
That's why they bring three people and a camera, just in case.
To follow up on Ali's question, though, what do you do that's fun that has nothing to do with your job, Conor? Besides wear a lot of really sharp suits. I know
really
that you
see, good looking
you
suits.
Really do. You got a great style there. Yeah. But besides that, what are you into otherwise?
I don't know. I am not. To be honest, I am obsessed with this game. The fight business is the only business that I want to be a part of. So I don't really have any pastimes or anything like that. I always hear people, they go and they do other activities to take their mind off the game or to take their mind away from combat. But for me, I don't want my mind off of this. My mind is forever on it. So rather than trying to cover it up, I embrace it and I let it roll, and that is it.
What will your goal be once you are the champ? Then what?
Because
that's a whole new set of now you got to come up with something else to dream about.
Yeah, you know, I will just continue my dominance and continue hunting down people that speak my name in vain. There has been many people who have spoke my name in vain since I have come into the game. So I will go back and I will get every single one of them one by one.
So you just want to fight everyone in the world as the champ, basically?
I want to be the most dominant champion in history, you know, and not just one weight division. I came into the UFC as a two-weight world champion, and I want to regain that again. I want to be a two-weight world champion inside the biggest promotion, which is the UFC. So that is something that I have my eyes set on.
You can be there in person at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas on Saturday night, July 11th. The fight is going to be on pay-per-view, but if you want to see it in person, go to UFCFightWeek.com. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10. And by the way, it's going to be a great night of fighting because the welterweight title bout is also going to be that night between Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald. So that's going to be a fun fight as well. And then you, of course, as the headliner, and you will be the UFC featherweight champion when you beat Josie Aldo. That's what we're looking for, right?
Yes, sir.
Great to see you again, Conor. Good luck, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
These windows in the K-Rock studios are steaming up, Ralph. It's because Ali just met Conor McGregor.
Oh, trust me.
He smelled so good, you guys.
All right,
if anyone out there is wondering.
Easy.
Yeah, she was ready for whatever he had to offer, I think.
I'm on board.
She wanted an arm bar. I don't know what that means, but I made it sound filthy.
Yep. Who's more talented than Simon Pegg, by the way?
That would be, there's one guy, what's his name? He lives in New Haven, Connecticut. Phil something, but that's he's the only one.
Simon Pegg's close to the best, though, and he'll join us coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. So much going on with Mr. Pegg. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
I have news that alternately pleases and disturbs me. Connie Britton.
Love.
We all love.
She is signing on to play Faye Resnick in the upcoming O.J. Simpson's miniseries, American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Now, refresh my memory. Miss Resnick was who in that drama?
She was the best friend of a young lady named Nicole Simpson.
Oh, she was her best friend. Okay, gotcha.
Right. And Faye had the inside track of the inner workings of the tempestuous relationship between O.J. and Nicole. And didn't she feel threatened by O.J. or two or something in one thing?
I feel
she
like there's
hot.
A
I remember
lot.
Her being hot. I remember Faye being
yes.
hot.
And it still is. She's on one of those housewife shows.
Oh, is she really?
Where she shows up every now and then.
Do you watch those shows?
I don't, but I remember God seeing her and saying, who is that? And then Faye Resnick.
Yeah, I remember her being hot.
Now, why do you have mixed feelings about this? It seems like it's a legitimate story to tell.
I'm just concerned. Is this going to take her away from Nashville work at any time or point in the future? I don't want anything interfering with my Nashville.
No, I think she can do both.
Do the one job. Make sure it's done right.
Be rated James.
That's right. God, I love that show.
I think she can do it.
Is this week the Grand Ole Opry
episode? Yeah, the Opry show tonight, right? No, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? I don't know, but I love that damn show. Anyway, she is joining the cast, who has Cuba Gooding Jr., of course, as The Juice.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Vance as Johnny Cochran, which I think is going to be great casting.
Great casting.
Sarah Paulson as Marcia Clark, John Travolta as Robert Shapiro, and David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian.
I think that's all excellent casting,
yeah,
except
too.
For David Schwimmer.
I'm looking forward to this very much. As long as it doesn't interfere with Raina James.
Sure.
Our good friend, actor Will Ferrell, will be getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Yeah! No one deserves it more.
No, indeed. 11:30 a.m. at 6767 Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of the Hollywood Wax Museum, Will Ferrell will be getting his star. There to speak on his behalf, to induct him into that illustrious walkway, will be John C. Reilly, his stepbrother's co-star. And also, of course, star of Ricky Bobby, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. And Molly Shannon, his longtime friend from SNL, will also be there.
Bitchin'. Congratulations, Will Ferrell.
Kevin Hart, who just happens to co-star in Will's new movie, Get Hard, which just happens to open up this weekend, will also be on hand for the event. So I predict a big crowd. If you want to go down there at 11:30 a.m., you might want to go a little bit early to get to a point where you can actually see what's happening. But congratulations, Will. I've known Will a long, long time. And he is the exact same guy he was back when he was doing the Groundlings, living sharing an apartment with two buddies of mine in Hollywood. Just could not be a nicer, sweeter, great, better family guy and friend and talent. I mean, if anybody could be a dick, it could be this guy who's got the world by the ass, and he's just can make any movie he wants, and he's just a great, great guy. Does a lot for charity. He's just a good person.
Always good to hear.
So it is nice to see him do so well. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. Talk about movies. I warned you about this 50 Shades of Grey, but Gabe wouldn't listen. He says, Ralph, my girlfriend drugged me to see 50 Shades of Grey this past weekend for one of our date nights, and you're completely right. It absolutely sucked. The only part I found enjoyable was where he poured hot wax on her body. He poured some hot wax on her body. He poured some hot wax on her body. He poured some hot wax on her body. Indeed, Rodney. You know, I forgot to mention this, but I got off the plane from Toronto, Canada, around 12:30 in the morning, Sunday night, Monday morning.
Did you turn on the radio?
I turned on the radio.
How was that?
And I haven't heard it in the wild for some time. I haven't heard it as it happens for some time, but I was listening to Rodney on the Rock my way home. It was the greatest radio experience I've ever had.
Like,
I want to stay up late
real.
Every night, Sunday night, and listen, because it is, every break was like Christmas. It was just waiting for it to come. I could not have been more excited. He played a song and said, "That's not the good version of that song. I wish I had played the other version. It's better." And I was like, there's only some way you could have controlled that, Rodney. There's only some way you could have chosen what song you played on the radio.
That was God bless Rodney.
Surfing with Britney. That's some remix version. It's not the good one. I wish I'd played the good one.
Oh, Rodney.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jim Parsons is 42 years old today. Actress Allison Hannigan is 41. Peyton Manning, quarterback for your Denver Broncos.
Apparently forever.
Forever. He is 39 years
old. He's got a lifelong contract with the Broncos,
nothing
apparently.
Nothing can make him leave. Jessica Chastain is 38 years old. Lake Bell celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph.
It's right there in the name.
She has to get a bell. It's like Kristen Bell and Lake Bell.
That's right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two big movie trailers came out this week, Allie. I don't know if you saw Man Up, the comedy with Simon Pegg and Lake Bell. Looks very, very funny. And then the trailer for a little movie called Mission Impossible Rogue Nation coming out the end of July. That came out. That looks awesome with Tom Cruise hanging off of an airplane.
Sure.
And then there's another new movie. Oh, Simon Pegg's in that one, too. And then there's another new movie that's coming out on demand this weekend in theaters on April the 10th called Kill Me Three Times. That is a dark comedy that looks excellent as well. It's always a pleasure to catch up with the busiest man in Hollywood, Simon Pegg, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Simon, how you doing, man?
I'm really good. I cannot believe I'm not there in the studio with you.
We are sad as well, sir. But you're frankly too busy to go anyplace in person anymore.
No, I'm in West Hollywood. It's like I've come 5,437 miles, and then I couldn't be bothered to go the extra five.
I had no idea you were in town. I just assumed you were calling us from a hotel room in Pakistan or something.
I was all excited because I thought I'd come in and see you guys. You know, yeah. I love coming in, hanging out, and they said, no, you've got to stay up here because the junket's such and such, and we don't have time to go down to the west side. And I really threw a massive kind of diva fit. I cleared the table in one swoop and said, what are you talking about?
Well,
but they still didn't let me.
You're very kind. Simon, have you ever, you know, I just mentioned a few of the things that you have. I didn't even mention that you're also working on the script for the next Star Trek movie right now. But have you ever been busier than you are right now? This seems like a level at which you have to start thinking about saying no to some things, son.
It's a heck of a bottleneck. But I think it's kind of the movie industry is strange because, you know, when you actually make the things, they're always spread out. Obviously, you don't do them at the same time. But then post-production schedules can, you know, missions have been brought forward to summer. And I shot this movie, Kill Me Three Times, like the end of the year before last, which is now coming out here because it's a little indie. So it takes some time to gather momentum. And
So
it's kind of crazy. I'm out here for 5 days, and I'm doing little bits and bobs on five separate films. So it's a bit, but it's nothing to complain about.
No, I understand. But it is so funny though because you know you have different problems at various stages in your career. There was a time where you were just hoping to get work, right? And now you have to go, wow, I've really got to really make some good decisions so that I can do the things that are important to me, the things that I want to do. Because you could be Michael Caine and be in every movie ever if you wanted to be at this point.
I would be a lucky man if I could be Michael.
Certainly. Well, let's talk about Kill Me Three Times for just a minute because it is – I was trying to figure out how to explain this to my wife last night. It's a comedy definitely, but it's also very dark and it's also kind of film noirish. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, very much so. It's kind of – you know, it's a child of Mr. Tarantino, this movie, and it's kind of has that wry sense of humor, but it's pretty, you know, dark and it's comedy. It's a pulp novel, you know. It's that kind of feel to it. There's a lot of double crossing, a lot of twists, and a lot of shooting.
It looked very hot with you out there in a suit in the desert.
You know what? It was actually we shot it like it wasn't that hot then. We were down in Perth, which is the most remote city on Earth, and the weather was kind of. I expected it to be boiling hot, but it was very windy and a little bit cool. So it was actually okay to be wearing a black. Paul Smith in the desert.
It was beautifully shot, and I had no idea Perth was that beautiful, and I thought to myself, if I am to be assassinated, I'd like it to be in Perth.
What an amazing fantasy to have.
Thank you. Been working on it.
How was that mustache to wear, and how comfortable are you with firearms?
That's a very interesting double question. I'll take part A first. Having a handlebar mustache, for me at least, was a complicated experience. I found that it didn't go with anything I had. Any clothes that I wore, it just didn't fit. And I had to dress like a sort of truck driver in order to feel normal. But it was all my own work, and I was very proud of it. But
you have to walk around with that the whole time you're making the movie. That's not a stick-on, right?
No, it was fine, and it honestly was kind of problematic. I'd put my, you know, clothes that I usually felt quite comfortable in. I'd look at myself in the mirror and think, you just look weird.
Yeah.
Your face is saying so much about your attitude towards life that it's completely overshadowing your clothing.
And then when you run into somebody, like just a fan on the street or something, they got to look at you and go, oh, my God, what's up with Peg, man?
When did he join the Village People?
And how about the gun aspect? Because this is some pretty serious hardware that you're handling in this movie.
Yeah, I did it. Obviously, you know, you meet the guys that provide the weaponry. And, you know, coming from the UK where firearms aren't readily available, we usually, you know, fight each other with sticks and sort of catapults and things. I wasn't that well versed in it. But I've done enough movies now, like Hot Fuzz, we had a lot of gunplay in.
Right.
And, obviously Mission Impossible, I get to wield a few weapons. So, yeah, it was kind of fun. They're sort of boys' toys, but serious things. Always very – the safety around them on set, even though they're not live firing, is always so meticulous.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. Simon Pegg is on the phone right now. We're talking about, among other things, his new film, which is called Kill Me Three Times. You can see it on demand on VOD starting this Thursday and in theaters everywhere on April 10th. This, while we have you, this trailer for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, I mean, this is a franchise where it's got to be such a daunting task to try to up the ante on the action from previous films. Every movie they try to make bigger and crazier than the other one. At some point, they will kill you, Simon.
It's not me they're going to kill. It's TC. That guy is doomed.
Well, you're in the car with him at one point. It doesn't look too safe to me.
If he's gonna top Rogue Nation in the next film, he's going to have to hang off the moon or something, because, like, the Ghost Protocol, he was hanging off the Burj Khalifa. In this one, he's lit. That was him. I cannot stress this enough, because I was in the plane. I went up and took a little circuit in the plane while he was doing it. He was literally hanging off the side of that plane, obviously secured, but... And he will come off something like that with the biggest grin on his face. He just absolutely loves it.
That's unbelievable. Wow. That's not just CGI with him hanging on a rope and then they put in the plane afterwards.
It's kind of frustrating that these days you can achieve those kind of effects using that, because and that's kind of the point of what he does, is that it's, you know, he's always at pains to say, no, we're doing this, because there's an extra level of involvement there from the audience when they're watching it, thinking, this is actually happening.
Yeah.
It means so much more. You can do so much with CG these days. You can make anything happen, but if you know that it didn't actually happen, there's no tension. But you put Tom Cruise on the side of a plane and you know, it really brings it home. It's he's an impressive guy and an amazing driver. In the car chase we did in Morocco, I was never in the car with a stunt driver. It was always Tom, and he drives a lot of
pressure. He's a race car guy too, right, though?
Days of Thunder, you know, he's been driving cars his whole life. But we were doing the most incredible precision driving through alleyways, like knocking over stuff, crashing. I've been in a car crash with Tom Cruise twice. Who can say that?
Not many people.
All right, let me ask you this Tom Cruise question, and I mean no disrespect, Simon, because you know I'm a huge fan of yours. But you look at him at 50-something, whatever he is,
yes,
and he is a marvel. He's a miracle. He looks incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't that depressing for you?
He puts the work in. This is the thing. We worked out all the time. We had great trainers that were with us the whole time, fantastic people. Lacey and Chris, who followed us around, and we had a physiotherapist, and we trained together. And we had a special diet. Like, every day we had this cool box, and we had a chef that made us the right food in order for us to be fit. Because I had to, you know, measure up, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had like really fun workouts that were like a montage scene from Top Gun. We'd be doing press ups and high fives and all this kind of stuff. But the cool box was the thing. If you stuck to your cool box, then you would be. And he was less than 10% body fat. Occasionally, I'd eat the chocolate on my pillow in the hotel, you know. But yeah, he wouldn't even do that, because he was so committed to just looking awesome. And
it's amazing.
That's what it takes. It takes that level of commitment. I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, since I started hanging out with the Mission Impossible guys and actually having to do films where I've kept fit, I've really enjoyed actually not being a fat slob.
Well,
I don't know what that's like.
It's amazing. All right, last question for you, Simon, because I know you have many other things to do, and I promise you that I'm not trying to get any kind of spoilers or anything out of your visit to the Star Wars set, but I have to ask you this question, because, you know, you, like me, like Allie, like all of us who grew up adoring, idolizing, worshiping at the throne of Star Wars,
yep,
when you're on the set of Star Wars, is it still magic, or is it just another movie set?
Something was happening on the set of that movie that was I've never been on a film set where people have been more invested in the material, more sort of like kind of aware of what they were making. Every single day there was a sense of like just wonder, and when certain characters and things appeared on the set, there was a genuine sense of excitement. And, you know, the amount of people crowded around the monitors watching was always wonderful. And a lot of because it was shooting in the UK, a lot of the crew were the children of the people that had worked on the original films. You know, so many people said, oh, my dad did this and that. So the history and the significance of the movie, it was the most magic film set I've ever been on in my life. And
that's beautiful.
I've never cried so much on a film set before. You know, you see stuff and you just go, oh, my God.
It's a stormtrooper. You know?
I mean, for some reason, Star Wars just goes so far and above how we feel about so many other movies. I mean, that's Luke Skywalker. I mean, when you're standing there, you go, that's Luke Skywalker. You just can't get over the fact that he's just an actor like you are. There's something magic. That's the only word I can imagine what it must feel like.
It's why, you know, for better or for worse, Star Wars is why we are where we are at now with cinema. Star Wars changed the rules back in the 70s and made cinema about much more about spectacle. And, you know, that's why in this era of big cinema, it's all spectacle. You know, if you look at the movies that were coming out in the 70s, it was The Godfather and Taxi Driver and Bonnie and Clyde, these sort of dark kind of like art movies. And then Star Wars came along and it changed everything. And, you know, you can complain about the state of film now being too much of that, but you know, for better or for worse, that's
for better or for worse. Exactly. Yeah. Simon, you're always a fascinating guest. We always love catching up with you. And I do hope you'll get a chance to come back to California soon and come in and spend some more time with us. All right, my friend?
I hope so. It'd be lovely to see you.
Great to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Walk the Moon on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget at 9, excuse me, let me take that back right now. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, you can win your tickets to Coachella. We got a pair of sold-out passes for you and access to the K-Rock Coachella house, plus you're qualified to win a new car. It's a 2015 turbocharged. Allie, do you want to try to say it since Dave makes fun of me every time I try to say it?
Abarth.
Abarth.
The Fiat. Say it again.
Abarth.
Thank you. Grand prize winner will be drawn on Friday, April the 10th. You can get all the details at krock.com. That's at 5 o'clock today. All right. So I was on vacation last week. The monkey is gone this week.
Yeah.
And I went to Mississippi. We talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And one of the things that I was excited about going to Mississippi is there are lots of famous grave sites in Mississippi.
Sure, that's excitable stuff right there on a vacation. You want to see a lot of graves.
By the way, very disappointing. When I went to the Jefferson Davis Presidential House and Museum, the president of the Confederacy, he is not buried there in Biloxi, Mississippi. He's buried in the capital of the Confederacy in Richmond. So I was not able to go to his grave. I would have liked to have seen that. But I did visit the great blues singer Robert Johnson's grave.
Mm-hmm.
John Lee Hooker's grave I visited as well while I was there. I couldn't find Paul Davis's grave. I did try.
What does that mean?
Paul Davis.
Because you searched for a while.
Do you still go crazy over Paul Davis?
As a matter of fact, I do, Ralph. He was a pop singer, well known in the 70s and 80s for songs like 65 Love Affair and Cool Night and I Go Crazy. And I was in Meridian, Mississippi to go to the Jimmy Rogers Museum, and I did see his grave. But I didn't. I couldn't find Paul Davis's. And Ralph, you were mocking me about going to gravesites.
Yes.
On vacation. Now tell me why, because to me that makes perfect sense as a spot of interest to go visit in an area when you're visiting.
It is the least of all things to look at when you're on vacation. Of all the things, of buildings and sites and actual things that are things, you're going and you're looking at the ground with a dude's name on it. You're looking at the ground and there's a piece of rock with a dude's name on it. And right. You're going out of your way to do that.
Right, but it's a final resting place. And I'm talking about going to see somebody you admire. It's a final resting place. It's a chance to go be close to that person and say goodbye.
You know they're not
and
there,
say thank
right?
You.
You know they're not there to hear you say goodbye or thank you or anything. They're just bones in a box in the dirt.
I understand what you're saying, but
I don't think you do, because if you did, you wouldn't be going to graves.
I think for me, Bean, it's the depth of your love for these people. Like for me, a family member, understandable, got it. Certain people that you honor, look up to, but these just seem like, oh, they're in Mississippi. Let's go visit them.
I've heard this name. I'm going to go see his death spot.
Yeah, I just question how you choose.
Now, you went to Graceland, you were telling me off the air. Right,
right yes.
And
I saw the house where he lived.
Okay.
And I could envision him in that setting, and I could envision what the Elvis Presley life was like. When I was in the jungle room, I said, here's where he sat, and watched his three TVs and shot them out with his guns. I remember those stories. I got to visit that place. And then they take you in the backyard, and that's where he's buried, under a slab of rock. And they say, well, here he is. And I'm like, nope, that's not him. That's me looking at a slab of rock in the ground. This is the least interesting part of this entire tour.
But that's his final resting place. I mean, that is kind of, in a way, that's the ultimate memorial to Elvis Presley, is his grave.
It's not my resting place. I don't need to rest there. I need to move on. I need to keep moving. I'm alive.
Well, I suggested yesterday when this came up that I bet a lot of our listeners
have visited a lot of graves. And I would be interested to find out who you've gone to see and why. What celebrity graves have you visited? For instance, Stephen wrote in on Twitter when he heard us mention that we were having this conversation later in the show. He said he has been to the grave of Dimebag Darrell, of Jimi Hendrix, of Bruce Lee, of Selena, and Johnny Appleseed. He's been to all of those graves.
Was he in those cities and they happened to be there, or did he go on a trip to those graves?
He doesn't say. It's just a tweet. I don't know.
Something
but maybe
I'd like to know.
Maybe with our callers, maybe we can get a little more detail on how they ended up at the grave. I mean, were they just driving by and there it was, or did they seek it out? Did they go out of their way to see a famous person's grave? And if so, see if you can help me explain to Ralph why that's a thing that somebody would want to do. Let's take one real quick before the break, and let's make it Mike in Montebello. He's on line one. Maybe he can shed some light, because I'm unable to convince Ralph that it makes sense. Mike, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Well, you know the rapper Eazy-E, he is buried in Rosehill. You know, sometimes me and my buddies, we like to go up there and have a little smoke break with him.
Now, do you pour one out for your homie?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Ralph, what are your thoughts about that? Honoring Eazy-E by going up and having a little smoke break with
him?
Well,
you can't smoke anywhere else. I could see why you would choose that place. You know, you're not really spending any time with him, right? This isn't a celebrity moment with you where you're partying with Eazy-E just because you're near his grave.
I mean, it's just fun. It's something, you know, interesting. You know,
it is interesting.
Respect the man.
Yes, thank you.
You know,
respect the man by pouring some malt liquor on his dirt.
I think it's more spiritual. I think it's spiritual.
Is it spiritual now? Okay.
No,
I'm with Mike. Mike, thank you for the call. All right, we're taking your calls. Whose grave have you visited and why? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on K-Rock. We're taking your calls right now on celebrity grave sites that you have visited and why. I think it's a perfectly legitimate way to show respect to someone you're a fan of. Ralph thinks it's a big, fat waste of time.
Lizzie, aren't you closer to the spirit of the person by visiting the places where they lived and worked than you are by standing by their bones when they're dead?
I think they're similar. I think they're similar. I think you're getting the same sort of thing. You're visiting two different places that are very significant in that person's life. Tanya writes in, I just went to Edgar Allan Poe's grave when I was in Baltimore, and I live in Simi Valley where tons of people go visit President Reagan's grave at the library there. Anna writes in, we just came back from Seattle yesterday, and we made sure that we visited the Jimi Hendrix gravesite and also Kurt Cobain's house where he committed suicide. We are hardcore music fans, and we felt we needed to show some respect to those two icons. So she got something out of that visit, right?
But what? Tell me, get to the point of it. Respect and honor. What's the real thing? What's the attraction? Why do you want to be near the bones of someone?
All right. Let's see if Fred can help us out, help us understand. He's in Marina Del Rey. He's on line six. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Whose grave did you visit and why?
Well, I visited a couple. I visited John Lennon's grave, and I also visited Jim Morrison's grave.
Okay, now explain to Ralph how that pays tribute to people to be close to where they're buried.
Well, when it comes to Jim Morrison, I saw him at the Roxy when I was growing up. I was in France. It was one of the items on my checklist to go see.
Okay, why?
Well, it's part of the music, part of me growing up.
Right.
You know, it gave me a sense, it gave me a good feeling just to be standing there.
Why?
Again, no one's answering my why.
Why? Well, I'll tell you what. It's kind of a checklist. This year I'm going to Italy. I'm going to go to the World's Fair, go to Germany, go to Oktoberfest. It's a checklist.
It's a checklist.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Fred. Appreciate that. Let's go to Woodland Hills. Our man Steve is on the line. He's on line five, and he's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. Whose grave did you visit and why?
How's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Hey, good. Steve.
You know, been listening to you guys for 22 years. It's the first time I actually got on the air with you.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you for calling in for listening.
Make it count, Steve. Make it count, man.
We'll do. So I was actually over in Israel back in 2002, and I was visiting on a birthright trip, and I went over to the Palestinian side of Jerusalem to go over to Jesus' tomb so I could light candles at his grave and, you know, say the prayers for my friends in San Fernando. We're all Catholic.
Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. Jesus has a tomb?
Yeah, the Holy Sepulchre.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Jesus was buried anywhere. I thought he escaped.
Well, he rose again, I believe.
Well,
What happened?
Well, basically, obviously, there's no body there, but that's where they take his day, and they rose the church around it, and it's actually a pretty cool church over there. I'm Jewish, but you got to appreciate all kinds of history and cultures, right?
Sure. So that for you was going to a spot that has historical and religious significance, and just kind of wanting to see it in person and feel the vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're in a place like Israel, especially in Jerusalem, I mean, the history is just astounding. So, you know, going to a place like that, you know, it gives you two things. One, you're going to get the history of the place, but also you get the real feeling of the place. Because you got to figure, so people have been going there for the last, 1,600 years to go pay tribute to Jesus. And just like, at the Western Wall, you've got, people pouring out their hearts and souls into a rock, basically.
Right. Now, how about that, Ralph? As a historical location, cool.
I think for religious purposes, specifically, if you're a religious person or a student of history and you want to see that because of the history of that location, that I can get behind. That makes sense to me.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That and like an Arlington cemetery, I get that. It's a history. It's a reverence. It's a gratefulness that you get.
And it also makes you sink in about the sense of loss and the inanity of war and that kind of thing.
Yes.
It makes it important. Yeah, I could see that too.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Yvonne Pomona, line 2.
Jesus is a pretty big star, I think, if you're going to go to a grave. That's a pretty big one.
But bigger than Elvis, though?
A little bit.
Come on. Hey, Yvonne, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Happy Tequila Tuesday, guys.
It looks to me like you go to a lot of graves. Tell me why.
It was actually the same day. I was in Burbank with my brother,
uh-huh.
and we were passing by the Hollywood Hills Cemetery, and I thought that's where Michael Jackson was, but I ended up finding Paul Walker's. And to me, Paul Walker, like, his death has always really, like, got to me really bad, and I don't know why. Being there, it felt like, in a sense, he was there, like, I met him in a way.
But you didn't.
No,
right?
I didn't.
Yeah.
And then me and my brother went to go see, after that cemetery, we went to the Glendale Forest Lawn. We tried to get as close as we could to Michael Jackson, but mm-hmm. he's inside one of the mausoleums and we couldn't get inside.
Dick.
He doesn't love his fans, Michael Jackson.
He doesn't love his fans at all,
man. All alone and dead. He doesn't want to hang out with people when he's dead, man. What a dick.
Why so standoffish, man?
I love Disney. I love Disneyland, everything Disney. So we found Walt Disney's gravesite as well.
Well, what's left of Walt Disney was in there, right?
Huh?
They froze his head, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. So, all right. So you visit Walt Disney and you do what? You just go, thanks,
there
Walt?
That is.
Well, it was just a good feeling being there, like knowing, like paying respect.
That's what I'm saying. Paying respect.
You know, you pay more respect by going to Disneyland, the place that he built with his hands and love and vision. You'd pay more respect by enjoying that than you do by standing by his bones.
I have an annual pass, so I do that all the time.
Yeah, boom. Back off, Ralph. Back off.
Got it covered. All right, Yvonne, glad you called.
I still can't get over Michael Jackson. What a dick.
I know. Seriously. That's my takeaway as well. Thanks for the calls, everybody. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Tuesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
You know, one of our callers, when we were talking about visiting graves, mentioned that she saw the gravesite of Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to pay tribute to Paul Walker in another way, maybe by seeing his final work. We've got passes to the K-Rock screening of Furious 7.
Yay!
That looks pretty crazy, that movie.
Looks pretty nutty. Looks like they're driving cars out of planes.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Who's
That's
with
one.
Me?
I'm with you.
How about the is this the one where they drive the car through the building? And he goes out one window of a building and then in through a window of another building?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you'd like to see this film, we're doing a very special screening on March the 31st at the AMC City Walk up there at Universal Studios. Furious 7 is in theaters everywhere on April the 3rd, but if you'd like to see it early, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to see Furious 7.
It's got to be on the list of the most successful franchises in Hollywood, certainly in the last 20 years.
I would think so, yes.
Do you remember, Ralph, when the first one came out?
I do.
When it was a no-name, no stars, no history movie, our little friend Lightning.
You guys got to get this movie. It's going to be the biggest thing in the world.
Biggest thing in the world. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious.
It was car porn.
Yep, that's what it was.
And the never first one, I think, is just cars going fast. I don't think there's much more happening in that movie than that. There's a lot of cars driving very fast and furiously, of course.
I've never seen anyone as excited about a movie as Lightning was about the first Fast and the Furious movie. But yeah, he's getting the last laugh, man, because now they make them every year.
That's true. Make them bigger and better.
That's right.
Speaking of the film, Vin Diesel has honored his late friend Paul Walker by naming his newborn daughter Pauline.
Aww.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Vin was on the Today Show yesterday, talked about his daughter's birth last week, and said, "I named her Pauline. There's no other person that I was thinking about as I was cutting this umbilical cord. I just thought I knew he was there, and it felt like a way to keep his memory a part of my family and a part of my world."
It's a very, very nice gesture.
That is a very nice gesture. Mila Kunis was on James Corden's Late Late Show last night. Anybody catch any of James Corden's show?
I DVR'd it.
Have not seen it yet, but I read some terrific reviews.
I from saw Night One. So far just the video tribute where he does a salute to Tom Hanks's movies with Tom Hanks,
mm-hmm.
and they act them out together in rapid succession. Very funny. Involves the costume changes and put on wigs and hats, and they just do like 10 seconds from each Tom Hanks movie ever. It's very, very funny. Mila Kunis was on the show, and she confirmed that she might be married to Ashton Kutcher.
She's not sure.
Gordon mentioned the huge rock that she had on that finger, and she said that maybe they got married.
Huh.
So I guess she's just leaving it up to our imagination?
I kind of like that. They didn't make a big deal out of it. Sell pictures to People Magazine.
No,
kept
but
it
you,
between the
they
two
could
of
say
them.
Yes or no. Couldn't they? Don't you make it more of a thing if you make it a big mystery that people now are going to be hassling you trying to find out one way or the other?
Yeah.
Kind of put it to bed if you say yes or no, right?
Does it matter?
Not to me.
Nope.
Maybe to the Kutch. And we're all big fans of the Rat Pack, right?
Sure.
Big Rat Pack fans here?
Sure. Oh, Kevin's not here to poo-poo it, but that's let's go ahead.
Stupid old people.
They're all dead.
Black and white. They were all black and white back in the day, weren't they?
Stupid.
He actually thinks people were black and white before like the mid-50s.
He thinks the world walked around, everybody walked around in black and white. He
color wasn't invented until
he
then.
He really thinks that. Every time I see them, they're all black and white. Why don't they have more color in their face?
Well, there's a little magazine called Vogue that has crowned a new Brat Pack in Hollywood. Because first there was the Rat Pack.
Right.
Which was Frank Sinatra, of course, and Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr., and Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop. And then there was the Brat Pack, which was a clever play on words of the Rat Pack in the 80s. And that was Emilio Estevez and Anthony Michael Hall and Rob Lowe and Andrew McCarthy and Demi Moore and Judd Nelson and Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy. Well, Vogue magazine says there's a new Brat Pack in Hollywood.
Oh, this is very exciting.
You ready?
Yep.
Yeah, I am.
Here they are. Gigi Hadid.
Oh, Gigi, he or she is great.
Gigi Hadid. Kendall Jenner.
Oh, new.
Shailene Woodley.
Okay.
Ansel Elgort.
Okay.
Led all by Justin Bieber. They are the new Brat Pack.
Justin Bieber is in their Brat Pack?
He's the Frank Sinatra of their Brat Pack.
No! Isn't he already over?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's over.
I don't know where this list is coming from, but it's dumb.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it's all dumb. Stop it. And by the way, I misspoke. This says Ansel Elgort apparently is often seen with Shailene Woodley. So Woodley's not even on the list. It's Justin Bieber, Ansel Elgort, Gigi Hadid, and Kendall Jenner. That's the new Brat Pack.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. No.
It's no Andrew McCarthy.
That's right.
Wasn't Reddington, wasn't he one of the Brat Packers too? What's his name?
James Spader. Back in the day?
Spader,
yeah, might have been.
Wasn't he a Brat Packer?
He might have been, yeah.
I think he was Brat Pack adjacent.
Was he?
Yeah.
He was too cool for the Brat Pack, man.
He was a hardy gent.
He traveled his own path.
Yeah.
Stealing state secrets, hiding undercover, man, killing people, running his scams at Reddington. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jim Parsons is 42 years old today. Star, of course, of Big Bang Theory. One of the biggest TV stars in the world. And has anyone won more Emmys than Jim Parsons?
He's doing pretty well for himself.
He's like 47 Emmys, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Allison Hannigan. How much do we love Allison Hannigan?
Hi, Allison. We miss you.
She listens to the show from time to time, but now she has like 47 kids, so maybe she doesn't have time. She's 41 years old. Peyton Manning, Broncos QB, is 39. Jessica Chastain turns 38 years old today. And actress Lake Bell, she's 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wow.
Ralph, you're one of the tantrums right there.
Yeah, I threw well a tantrum done. From time to time.
Hey, before we get into Showbiz Beat, I want to thank Kevin and Bean listener Eric, who reached out to me on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account and said, I had some questions, as did Allie, about how that guy in Napa Valley died in his freezer, climbed into his freezer and died.
Right.
Apparently, it's tight enough in there. There's a tiny amount of fresh air that gets into a freezer, even if it's not completely 100% sealed, that you generate your own carbon monoxide, just like you would if you fell asleep in your car, with the engine running kind of deal. So that's what happened is he just went in there, closed the door, and then breathed himself into carbon monoxide, just fell asleep and never woke up. What a weird way to go, though, in a freezer.
He aspirated on his own carbon monoxide that he was exhaling.
That's right. That makes a little bit more sense about, because I was trying to figure out in that Death Corner piece how he passed away, but that's the answer. I don't know why Eric knew that. I'm very concerned. I think somebody should check what's in the crawl space of Eric's house.
Word.
But thank you for listening, and thank you for getting in touch. We appreciate that. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
How often do I have a chance to bring you great news?
Choose to or do?
I have the opportunity to. Look, I can only report the news as it is, Allie. And most of it's bad.
True.
There's a lot of bad news in the world,
true.
Especially in the world of entertainment. What with those Kardashians
sure.
and that Bieber kid. But this
that's
great
what makes news mostly is something you're not happy to hear. You're right about that.
Great news. It's official. It has been announced and confirmed that for the first time in 13 years, The X-Files is returning.
Yay! That is good news.
That's great news. The science fiction hit is returning as a 6-episode event series, which is a new thing, at least here in the U.S. anyway. And it will be coming from the mind of our good friend, series creator, and executive producer Chris Carter. And will star a gentleman named David Duchovny and his lovely co-star, Gillian Anderson, who reprised their roles as Fox, Mulder, and Dana Scully.
That is A, fantastic.
Right.
And B, I'm a little bit surprised to see it happen.
Me too. I never thought it was going to happen. That's why I'm so thrilled. Production on the series begins this summer. As you can imagine, the plot is not going to be revealed. We won't know, but Chris Carter has said, I think of it as a 13-year commercial break. The good news is the world has only gotten that much stranger. I think it's a perfect time to tell these 6 stories. So we're going to get 6 new episodes of X-Files coming, I'm guessing, in the fall, since they're going to start filming this summer. But I'm thrilled. Thrilled, I say.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, both of those actors have gone on, had very successful post-X-Files careers.
They don't need this.
That's right. I'm glad their schedule worked out. I don't know if you watch. Do you watch Gillian on The Fall? Do you guys watch her on The Fall show?
The sub make it up shows. First of all, there's enough television being where you have to make up. Oh no, but I watch her on the summer.
She is
another good show.
It's a great show. It's on Netflix. It's called The Fall.
Sure it is.
And of course, she's a regular on Hannibal as
right.
well.
Right, I know.
Fantastic on Hannibal.
Yeah.
And we all know what Mr. Duchovny has been up to.
Yeah, he's on The Winter. I don't know if you're watching The Winter.
All of his California.
He's great on The Winter.
I just think this is. I think it's great.
I can't wait.
Jillian is hotter today than she was when she made that show.
Beautiful.
By the way.
She's beautiful.
Gosh, she's pretty.
And the company's aged well, too. They're both, both looking great.
Very handsome young man.
All right, easy. Angelina Jolie has announced that she went under additional preventive surgery to avoid the possibility of developing cancer. She had her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed last
week.
Very
strange.
It's not very strange at all, Rodney. She carries the gene that is an indicator for breast and ovarian cancer. Both her mother, actually her mother, her grandmother, and her aunt all died from cancer. So this is another preventative measure to try to keep her from developing cancer. Apparently blood tests indicated she may have the early stages of cancer, and so that's when she made the decision 2 weeks ago to have this surgery. And she's a very brave lady, and she once again talking about it very openly, which I think is great because this is a horrible, horrible disease. And the more light you can shine on it, the best.
Girls going crazy.
Don't know what that has to do with it, Rodney.
She's just a beautiful person.
She is a beautiful person. You're absolutely right. I do want to give you a heads up again that Will Ferrell will be getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. if you're so inclined. Going down there to 6767 Hollywood Boulevard, which is right in front of the Hollywood Wax Museum. Will gets his star on the Walk of Fame, and John C. Reilly and Molly Shannon, his co-star from SNL, they will be there to speak and to award Will his star in the motion picture category. Kevin Hart apparently also going to be there. So
I am Fred Astaire.
No, you're not. They are going to reboot The Crow. Anybody fans of The Crow? I loved The Crow. Brandon
that was
Lee. Brandon Lee.
Movie series, right?
It was a movie, yes. Brandon Lee originally starred in The Crow, and of course it cost him his life. He was accidentally killed while filming that movie.
Mistakes.
Yes, there were mistakes on that set. And Jack Houston has been tapped to play the titular role of The Crow.
From Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire.
Good Empire. He's right. A good actor.
And a good Empire. Yeah, there's all those things. David Crosby, 60s icon, ran a dude down in his Tesla yesterday. Nice work,
with
David Crosby.
Go-go dancers.
Yeah, the go-go dancers in the back seat. Apparently that's what happened. They distracted him, and he ran over a dude. He was doing 55 in his Tesla yesterday through California wine country. Well, he claims the sun blinded him, and he rammed into a 46-year-old runner. Here's the thing about those Teslas. They're death machines. You know why? Because if you're running on a country road, you can't hear it coming up behind you.
Oh.
Silent.
Yeah.
It's a silent killer, the
yes.
Tesla.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago when the Prius started to gain popularity that there were some people who said that the company should be forced to make the cars noisier.
They should.
Because of that exact thing.
Should make this noise. The whole time. Just so you can hear it coming if you're walking in the street.
I just can't believe that he hit him at 55 miles an hour and the guy's fine.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
It is amazing.
And they said that, you know, no ticket. No one was at fault. It was, you know, just he wasn't drinking or speeding or anything like that. It was just an accident.
The Highway Patrol said this would never have happened if Ted Nugent had been driving the car because he can't drive 55.
Jeez. Well, now, why isn't that a Sammy Hagar joke?
Oh, that's right. It's Sammy Hagar. Oh, never mind.
Even worse.
Come on.
Right, man, I screwed up. I forgot who sang that song.
Ted Nugent. Come on.
This is disturbing. Lil Wayne was supposed to do a midnight show on Saturday at a nightclub in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but didn't show up until 3:30 a.m. So there was a guy in the crowd who set up his iPhone to scroll, shut the F up, and put on Wheezy. And he kept flashing his phone to the stage, showing it to the stage. Then he later edited the scroll when it got later in the evening, just saying, F Wheezy. Well, apparently Lil Wayne saw it and told one of his security guys to get the guy and take care of it. And the guy found him and punched him in the head and knocked him to the ground.
Oh, my God. By the way, if you're waiting 3.5 hours for a performer to show up on stage, you should be allowed to say F that performer.
I think you have a legitimate beef at that point, yeah.
Yeah.
But he got knocked the F out for his trouble, so don't diss Wheezy is what we're saying.
Seriously.
With George Jefferson always said.
What's wrong with you today?
I'm a little goofy. Today's celebrity birthday is Jim Parsons is 42 years old today. Actress Alison Hannigan. I can't believe it was Sammy Hagar, and I forgot it was Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, you must be embarrassed.
That's humiliating. That is humiliating.
You might die of humiliation.
I might. Actress Alison Hannigan is 41 years old today. Peyton Manning, Broncos QB, is 39. Jessica Chastain turns 38 years old today. Actress Lake Bell is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm walking the Showbiz Beat.
So happy to hear about Peyton Manning celebrating another birthday, man. I was a huge fan of his when I was a little kid.
Remember?
I think when I was in like third, fourth grade, I got a Peyton Manning jersey.
Yeah, you'd be in the backyard playing football with your friends. Say, oh, yeah. I'm Peyton Manning. No, I want to be Peyton Manning this time.
Just the best.
Adorable.
Hey, I know it's hard to believe after today, but they are inviting us back to do another show tomorrow, and I think it's going to be a good one because our friend Jay Moore is stopping by. Of course, he's on the bill for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. He'll be here in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. Very excited about that. Got our weekly visit with Adam Carolla on the show tomorrow. Got a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup for you tomorrow.
What else you got?
Yeah, it does sound great.
What else you got? It doesn't sound like you're stretching at all.
New Bean Makes Us Guess on the show tomorrow.
Okay. Why don't you quit while you're ahead, sport?
Why
don't you just join us tomorrow for a brand new Kevin and Bean show?
Bye.
Thing with a thing.